This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
By the Book on BFM 89.9.
Hello and welcome to By the Book. This is Sharmila Ganesan, and always with me, my fellow celebrator of literature, Lee Chui Lin.
Thank you. Hello.
And speaking of celebrating books and literature, we have with us today the brand new festival directors of the Georgetown Literary Festival, which is going to be happening from the 21st to the 24th of November. Pauline Fan and Sharad Kutan.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure to be here.
So, as I mentioned, this is the first time that the both of you are taking over after Bernice Chawley has been festival director for 8 years now.
Barring one year.
That's
Uma
right.
took over. Yeah.
So what does it feel like? You know, what's going through your minds?
Well, I think both of us have actually been involved in the GTLF for quite some time. Sharad, I think from the very beginning. I've been involved as both speaker and co-curator for the last 3-4 years. And it's always been, for me, an exciting opportunity and really a wonderful place to share ideas and to speak to like-minded people and to discover new things as well. So I think we were both a little bit surprised, but also delighted to be given the opportunity to co-direct.
And in fact, when I was asked, the first thing I did was to call Bernice, and we had a couple of drinks, and I said to her, I mean, am I really the right person? Because as a moderator, I fit into the things that are specific to my areas of competence or the things that I enjoy. But as co-director, there's a demand for you to have a curatorial vision, one, which I guess I could have, because I have visions almost on a daily basis. The real problem is, you know, the logistics of a festival, you know, having context. I mean, Pauline just knows, you know, agents and this and that kind of thing that really is necessary to pull a festival together, because you can want anybody you want. You can have it as long a wish list as you can imagine. But actually delivering the goods, now that's another question.
True. Well, on that note, right, I think we are going to be kind of diving into this issue of the direction, the theme, where you guys want the festival to be headed. But since we are talking about that role of the curator, maybe you can just talk to us a little bit more about that. Neither of us have done, you know, anything of this sort
Not
of scale.
A festival,
so,
no.
Yeah, I'd just like to know, I suppose, where do you begin? How do you start? What is the skill set required? Because I think it is a big leap going from, you know, moderator or participant to going like, I don't know, I imagine something along the lines of a brigadier general, sort of commanding the troops. So
it is something like that. And I think you need many, many skills. It entails, you need imagination. I think that's a very, very important skill. You need to have a kind of literary imagination too, as well as you need to be in touch with also your times and the issues of your times, because I think it's one thing, this is not a conference on literature, and so we're not there to kind of just talk about literariness in a scholarly way. Some of the people that we do have are scholarly, but I think it's also to reach out to a much larger audience and to make literature resonate with the people in your own society and in your own times.
And speaking of which, I mean, the idea of the zeitgeist, right? Having a sense of that so that people, when they look at your festival theme, they're kind of excited by that, you know, along with your headliners. And we have Joe Kalahati, who's the winner of the Man Booker International Prize this year. And so that's good too, but you need that broader vision.
Yes.
And I think that, in fact, the both of you, and Sharmila and Lin, you're both actually curating on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. You're thinking about how different conversations add up, but you're doing it in a kind of a linear time way. And that what the festival does is it imposes the issue of space as well. So time and space come together in the festival in a very special way.
Yes. And also we are, of course, dedicated to a theme. And even the theme, that was also kind of shaped by us. The Penang State government sort of suggested certain things that they wanted to talk about, and we shaped it into something that we thought would resonate also.
So the theme is forwards, afterwards.
Forwards, afterwards, which is looking forwards, of course, but also looking behind. So we're looking a lot at history, because I think as we look towards a future or a kind of collective vision of a future, then we really thought that what's actually missing is a sense of history.
You brought it up because, of course, it's the title of a book by T.S. Eliot. It's a collection.
By W.H. Auden.
Sorry, W.H. Auden.
It was a collection of essays.
Yeah, tell us about that, because I think that's something that people might not immediately sense. They might get the time dimension, but not the literary reference.
I mean, I think it's not essential to know or to have read that book, I think, to kind of to get or appreciate the theme. But I really like the way that Auden actually put that together, because it's the foreword of a book, and afterwards.
Yeah.
And so in looking towards the future and also towards the past, I think he's actually also talking about the role of the writer and how you respond to that, and how do you respond to your times, and how you respond to the movement of time, and how writers have done that.
So when you think of a festival also, there's the question of the audience. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've thought about in terms of who is this for? Who are you speaking to, and who are you reaching out to?
We have talked about that a lot.
I think it was crucial for us to kind of, you know, build on what Bernice had done so brilliantly, which is to raise the festival at an international level. So it won an award and so on and so forth. And people were saying, well, you know, that when we invite them, saying they know about the festival and would want to come to our festival as opposed to other festivals. But there was also a need to kind of deepen its local its roots, as it were, in the place of Penang. And so we had committed ourselves to a public libraries program, and we see public libraries as actually an ally going forward in promoting books and reading.
And with schools as well.
And schools, right. So the schools and public library program is actually very new. And schools were just started. Maybe it was a bit late in the day, but again, it's a long-term commitment to situating the festival firmly in Penang while having a very global and cosmopolitan outlook.
And firmly in Penang, meaning outside of Georgetown. I mean, we're working with libraries in places like Balik Pulau and Seberang Perai and Jawi and places like that, so that it really gets out of just Georgetown proper.
Yeah, and Bukit Mentajam. In fact, we had so many place names that we called it the B-side, which is because stealing an idea from BFM all those years ago when they had that notebook magazine, the B-side.
A little plug there.
For a dead product.
For a defunct thing, that's true. No, but you know, when you were saying all those years ago, I did want to kind of bring it back to that point about history, which both of you have alluded to, right? This idea of the importance of history and why that has entered the theme. And maybe you can talk to us a little bit more about that. I mean, when we're talking about history, what are we talking about? Because I think just understanding how we think about it and understanding, in fact, how we understand history is an important measure of, you know, what it is that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we did want to talk about is the particular... So this year, 2019, is the anniversary of a whole number of important markers of the 20th century. So coming from 100 years ago, 1919, which was the end of World War I, which sparked off in China the May 4th movement of 1919, which was actually one of the most culturally important things to have happened in China. It's also, I think, the 70th year anniversary of the Communist Revolution in China, and it's the 30th year anniversary of the Tiananmen Square protests and massacre. And so we wanted, in terms of historical events, we're looking at things like that. And here, of course, it's the 50th anniversary of the 1969 May 13th riots. So historically marking some of those things and remembering them, and also just reassessing, perhaps, also looking at the way we can talk about them in different mediums. And so we are bringing historians to speak about the work that they do and even how that they rewrite certain narratives. But we're also looking at, of course, poetry, poets, novelists, short story writers, also filmmakers.
Right. Yeah. There was, of course, in Europe, the Weimar Republic was established and the birth of the Bauhaus movement and the aesthetics that they kind of... disseminated actually globally. Those are also kind of European resonances. But if you look at something like the work of, our kind of headliner, Joka Alhati, and is reading her book, is that she's dealing with social change as well. And so history is in many of the works that are going to be kind of, as it were, on display at the festival. So history kind of, you know, impacts us today. And so I think that was why it was kind of a natural fit for the festival.
Yes. And also looking at history, I mean, there are many ways to tackle that subject. You know, one, of course, is official history and unofficial history, and looking at how the writing of both fiction as well as nonfiction can challenge those official histories. That's one really important thing that we're looking at on several different panels. But the other thing is also just looking at something like memory, because memory itself, you know, how do you write about that, and how does that impact and shape a writer?
Yeah, in fact, I was very lucky. I went to Taiwan to a conference on the May 13th event, mm-hmm. and looking at the kind of cultural resonances or reverberations coming out of that event, and you know, and it was through that that I was taught about the significance of, and this is the focus area for the festival this year, is Mahua literature, is Malaysian writing in the Chinese language, and just an extraordinary production over decades now of works that grapple with the Malaysian condition that is so unique that it's actually being talked about, written about by American scholars now and translated, though in the 50s, you know, Mahua literature was being translated to Malay and, and so on and so forth. So all these things, and just to introduce an English-speaking kind of Anglophone-centric world that we live in to these different things, Mahua literature and some of our other guests who come from non-English-speaking European countries are also very important.
Yes, and I think also we've made it a point to include, even the Europeans are not so Western European. We have Nikola Mazdarov from Macedonia, and even we have also Central Asian, really interesting writer Hamid Ismailov from Uzbekistan, who is not allowed to be read in his own country for actually writing books on history.
Well, we do need to take a quick break, but we are speaking to the festival directors of the Georgetown Literary Festival, which is happening from the 21st to the 24th of November in Georgetown, Penang. Have you visited the festival? Would you like to, you know, do you like literary festivals? Let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or write us at buythebook@bfm.my.
Building First World Mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Buy the Book with me, Sharmila and Lynn. And joining us today are the festival co-directors of the Georgetown Literary Festival, Pauline Fan and Sharad Kutan. The festival itself is happening from the 21st to the 24th of November. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about this whole connection of history with literature and to our current times. Now, I'm curious to hear about the role that you think literature can play, and perhaps this is a little bit of a lofty question in some ways, the role that literature plays in making sense of modern life, as it were.
Well, I'm just like the least equipped to answer that question. But let me say this. Somebody who's been reading, and I think we're all in this room together in that boat, we come from maybe a time where reading was very important. I mean, I'm much older than all of you put together.
You just walked into that on your own.
But you know, the point is this. You know, okay, the idea of reading is transformative in very important aspects, right? I mean, on a very basic level, it's about your brain. And, you know, and so the theorist, you know, Marianne Wolf has written about this, right? A Proust and the Squid, about the transformation of the human brain. The other point of it is that it's about sharing a collective, attempting to share a collective experience of the world. And so I think what we are attracted to are those who write about the world in which we, who write about it and represent it in ways that we can relate to. And they deepen that understanding. When they're good, they deepen that understanding. And we, it's not a consensus kind of building thing, but it actually does in some way build. And this is why some literatures, national literatures, are so important, because they help a nation, a collective body like a nation, see itself in particular ways or in new ways or challenge dominant ways and introduce new ideas and, you know, redefinitions of who we are. And so I think that is what is most exciting about literature, this experimentation with the question of identity or place or location in the world.
Yeah. And I think it's also important on the individual level that it can be really, it can open up new worlds and new kinds of freedom for people. Even reading can be a very solitary thing. It can be a collective experience, but it can also be a very solitary thing. And for someone like me, who literature was just kind of opened up my world when I started reading, stealing books from my father's library and reading Kafka. And those were, I mean, they take you to new worlds immediately. And that, hopefully, in my case, it made me want to learn other languages as well. So, like, I ended up learning German, ended up translating some Kafka. So it can bring you to all kinds of places in the imagination and also in real life.
Yeah, and so I'm balancing Pauline's kind of, you know, expansive kind of worldview by being monolingual. So I mean, okay, I speak Malay, but, you know, I'm essentially monolingual.
Come on.
So, you know, so it's yin and yang.
Yes, lovely.
I'm hopeless at Chinese. Don't ask me to speak any Mandarin.
Well, you know, the thing is, right,
It's something that actually we've been talking about quite a bit recently on the show because I'm not somebody who... So I am literally that solitary reader. Yeah, I don't tend to go out to book discussions, book readings, even though I like them in theory. But I think for some reason it just sort of slips past me. And so I've been trying to kind of revisit that in my own life. So I would just like to hear from you guys, I guess, about the particular pleasure of attending. I recognize that we're following existential question after existential question, but, you know, the pleasure of attending events that are centered around something that can be very solitary, which is the act of reading or the act of writing, right? Yes. So what is it about having events, bringing people together that, that has that pleasure or importance?
Well, let me just say this. I think that even while reading is a solitary endeavor for the individual, right? The fact that there's 100,000 copies of the same book and is being read by 100,000 people, even in a solitary mode, is that they're actually all, in some sort of magical sense, sharing a similar world in an imaginative sense. And so even if it doesn't have a direct, you know, kind of collective or group kind of feel, you're actually doing that. But what the festival tries to do, of course, is not just to illustrate what is the books and the stories that are written by the people who come, but actually allow for the conversation to go further. And I think that's what we were very concerned about. Again, Pauline said, this is not a conference on literature. Yeah. This is a festival. And so reminding ourselves that, of the festive dimension of it. Yes. And also, so it's bringing people together. You like a genre, you meet people who also like that genre, you meet your heroes, your stars, people you know, who you've always wanted to meet because you heard them through the written word, but you've never seen them in person. I think that's what the festival does, I think, that, book reading doesn't do.
I mean, it's kind of like, I think it was Rilke who said that falling in love is these two big lonelinesses coming together. And I think a festival is like that. These big lonelinesses, many, many lonelinesses coming together, that solitary experience and kind of just sharing it in some way.
You've talked a little bit about the some of the people that we'll be seeing, but I'm also curious about the panels that you're having for the festival.
Well, one thing that I think, which is new, is that we are, every single day of the festival, we're having a lecture. So this hasn't happened before. Last year, there was a lecture on translation. There was the Hikayat lecture on literary translation. This year, we have the first day, the lecture on literary translation, but every subsequent day, we have a lecture. And so on the Friday, we have Gunawan Muhammad, who will give a lecture in Bahasa. And so one of those sessions is going to be in Bahasa, Indonesia, because Gunawan is Indonesian. He is, for those who don't know, he is one of the most eminent and influential writers, poets, intellectuals from Indonesia writing today. And he'll be talking about poetry and the body in Indonesian. Then we have, on the Saturday, we have a lecture by Rebecca Karl, who is a professor of history of modern China, and she'll be talking about, it's the GTLF lecture on history and literature. And on the Sunday, we have the GTLF lecture on world literature, which will be delivered by Elliot Weinberger, who is one of the most eminent essayists writing in the world today. And he's also very well known as having been the translator of the Nobel Prize winning poet Octavio Paz. And so he'll be talking about world literature.
Yeah. And one of the things that we were thinking about was, you know, when you have something as important as a lecture given by some the people we've chosen to invite, is it, should they be competing with other panels and other sessions? And you know, the really annoying thing of having to choose between two wonderful events happening at the same time. And so we've made that decision to clear the timetable and just to have that. So have everybody come together and focus on a particular idea or a conversation. And so the shape of the festival sort of takes that into account. The experience of the person coming in it, what we want you know, people to experience, and how we could balance choice with some with a stronger sense of where we want people to be focused on. So I think that is the real skill in developing festivals today.
And, you know, considering the fact that you've both been involved in this particular festival for varying, you know, degrees of time, but for time nonetheless, how do you see it growing in the future while still kind of maintaining that sense of localness or intimacy, you know, that that we want? Because you're talking in to a degree about what it is that you're introducing, some things that you're changing. So perhaps it's too soon. I recognize that. This year's festival isn't even done yet. But just a platonic ideal, you know, how would you like to see it grow?
Well, I'd definitely like to see it grow in terms of a budget. I think both Sharad and I would love to see a bigger budget. For more than anything else, actually, because I think we need a bigger team. Because at the moment, it's actually a tiny team, and everyone's working too much and too hard to bring this together. And it's a wonderful festival that I think should keep going, and it should keep growing as well. But as you said, maintaining that sense of intimacy and that sense of connection, I think, is really important as well. There are so many festivals nowadays, and I think many of them, not every one of them, has that really distinctive sense of closeness and intimacy. And some of them have gone the more commercial route. Some are kind of festive on the outside, but not that interesting on the inside. I think Georgetown Literary Festival has, and I think this is why it's actually a place that writers want to come to, is because it really does have that reputation of being both substance and also fun, and actually sticking to the ideals of intellectual freedom.
Yeah, there's also this other thing. I mean, I was just talking to a friend the other day who went to the Hay Festival at its inception, and it was a church and a tent, and she could stay in the middle of the village to attend it. And now, some 8 years later, she had to take a hotel some 8-9 kilometers outside because it had become so big. Yeah. But that's a sign of success in some ways, isn't it? I mean, but on the other hand, you lose something. So it's a question of balance. And how is it that the festival wants to brand itself and for whom? The fact is, it's public monies that goes into this festival. Yes. Nothing, almost nothing that we have is ticketed, which is unlike, say, the Writers' Festival in Singapore, which many events are ticketed, or Ubud Writers' Festival, where it will cost you 1,300 ringgit or 4-day pass. 1,300 ringgit, right? So that's very commercial, and it's, you know, and all of them, I think, have a reason to exist and probably should exist. The question is, where does GTLF want to go, and who makes a decision about the direction of GTLF at the end of the day? Is it the state government that owns the GTLF festival? Is it the curators that they give the power to shape, or is it the public? And to what extent can the public see itself, or does see itself, as a stakeholder?
And in the end, I think it's probably a balance of all three. But to the credit of the state government of Penang, they have not interfered in any of the writers that we've chosen. I mean, there is actually a sense of respecting our freedom as directors to actually choose the theme and direction. I think they have a sense that they would like it to grow and perhaps bring what they call a big star. I mean, for us, everyone at our festival is already a big star. But of course, you know, star in their sense of the word might be slightly different. But we think it's still, I mean, I think we're okay with that as long as we also do keep the intellectual freedom as well as the intimacy of the festival.
Yeah, there's intellectual freedom, there's intellectual integrity, I think, that people are concerned about.
Yeah.
Stardom, and, you know, I mean, I was just reflecting with Pauline a couple of weeks ago. The Dhaka Lit Festival, which is happening 2 weeks from now, brought Thilda Swinton as a guest, you know. But I had not attended that. I went in 2016 when it was V.S. Naipaul. I mean, you think, Naipaul? Big name, post-colonial writer, Nobel Prize winner, all that, right? So obviously, Thilda Swinton, not sure. But, you know, it's a kind of name that maybe 1 year would just change the texture, and that could be good for a festival too. I mean, festivals are not just that year. They're actually, the long-term trajectory is part of its character. So that I think, needs to be considered as well. Yeah.
And we are looking at our sense of what is literature is really not just, it's just the written word. It's very much also oral literature and also film. And we're looking at things like, hopefully in the future, we'll look more at things like, and we have in the past as well, in things like graphic novels. All those things are literature and storytelling as well.
We're speaking with Pauline Fan and Sharad Kutin, who are the co-festival directors of the Georgetown Literary Festival, which is happening in Georgetown from the 21st to the 24th of November. Brings us to footnotes, and Pauline Fan and Sharad Kutin are still with us, and we're still talking about the Georgetown Literary Festival. And we thought it would be nice to wrap up the show by getting the both of you to sort of give us the curator's pick of events to attend at the festival.
Pretty much. I mean, why would we have you both here and not us? You're both looking.
I know they're all your darlings.
Correct.
They're both so hard to choose.
I know, you're both looking a little scandalized.
I didn't expect that reaction.
Look, honestly, I think there's is something in the festival for everybody. I would like to encourage people who say, for instance, want to experience a conversation about Tamil literature, because we have Perumal Murugan coming from India. Yes. We also have, like I said, a focus on Mahua literature, and we actually have some of the events bilingual, and so Mandarin, and I think that's also very important for us to kind of remember our multilingual. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know anything about Mahua literature, please come and learn, and it's a wonderful opportunity to meet people who work in this extraordinary genre in Malaysia.
It's actually one of the reasons why we were so insistent on including it, is because we don't know much about it at all, and we know it exists, and we know it has this kind of tremendous reputation outside of Malaysia. And a lot of...
Have we evaded the question?
Yes. Almost successfully, but not quite.
I am actually going to come back to it. But it is, you know, many of our literary communities just kind of exist side by side but don't always interact enough. Certainly, I think the Mahua community and the English-speaking community, like, hardly interact, right?
Yeah, and so this is why, right? So, okay, if I had to pick, it's really kind of it's a conversation with a man who runs the archives at Southern University in Johor. You might not even know this university, but it's actually quite extraordinary. And he presides over an archive of 22,000 books that is Mahua literature. This is not Chinese writings from around the world. This is Malaysian writings in Chinese, and a digital archive of over 140,000 items, all Mahua literature. And I think it's amazing. This is a private initiative. No state government was involved in the creation of this. And I think just to hear that story, I think would be very special.
I would pick, among other things, the session with Sabri Yunus and Namron. That is going to be in Bahasa Malaysia. We have quite a few sessions in Bahasa Malaysia. I think we used to always have maybe three or four. This time we have, I think, five or six sessions in BM, including a special conversation between Sabri Yunus and Namron, moderated by Edin Koo, on the use of dialect in the creation of art. And both of them, of course, of actors and directors, as well as script writers and the whole...
And Sabri Yunus is Kelantanese.
He's Kelantanese, and Namron is from Perlis. And they both heavily use dialect in their creation. So that's going to be an interesting one.
Thank you for allowing us to force you to say that. There was some arm twisting involved, but you know,
so hard to choose.
We got there in the end.
Well, thank you very much, Pauline and Sharad. It looks like the festival is going to be quite something to look forward to.
For sure.
Thank you very much. And
please come.
Remember, it's free. All you have to do is get yourself to Penang if you're based in the Klang Valley.
Yes.
And then, of course, get a hotel. Don't sleep rough on the street. It's not good for the look of the city. Come and almost everything is free.
Everything's free except for the workshops. That if you want to sign up for a workshop, there's a minimal fee. But otherwise, all the sessions are for free.
And for more information, you can check out georgetownlitfest.com.
Yes.
So we were talking to Sharad Kutan and Pauline Fan, who are the co-festival directors of the Georgetown Literary Festival, happening from the 21st to the 24th of November. If you have any thoughts on the GTLF, if you've been, if you want to go, if you're a lover of literary festivals, drop us a line. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can write to us at buythebook@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.